amen, whatever your need is this morning, whatever your problem you face, whatever, amen, has come through the past week or so, amen, I like what we got into Sunday school class. Is anything too hard for God?
Amen.
Hey, Sunday school class, is anything too hard for God?
Yeah.
That's right. Come on. Amen. There is nothing too hard for God. He can take a sinner, as wretched and vile as he or she may be, amen, and save them and deliver them out of all their sins and their troubles. Amen. Is anything too hard for God? God, amen. Folks, let me tell you something. God's wonderful. He still saves sinners, Peggy. Amen. Still save those that are lost. Amen. By preachers, amen, that get up and stand on God's Word. Amen. Give Eric your attention this morning. Amen. Pay him the respects, amen, that you would pay me, amen, that you would treat me. Amen. And listen to what he has to say from God. Amen. Go ahead, Brother Eric.
Amen. Well, along those same lines, when he says, there ain't anything too hard for God, the verse, you may know this, the verse that comes to my mind is in Deuteronomy 1:17. It says, the judgment's God, and the cause is too hard for you, bring it to me, and I will hear it.
Amen.
Talking about when Moses was one of the judges there in Israel to bring their causes to. Now, I'm glad that there is nothing too hard for God. Amen.
That's right. Amen.
We like to talk about our big problems. We was over at Cornerstone the other day having a prayer meeting. And if I can get the wording right, there's a plaque on the wall that said, don't tell God about your problems. Tell your problems about your big God.
Amen.
Yeah. I'm glad we've got a God who is a problem solver.
Yep. Amen.
Every answer we ever need is in the Word of God. It's found in the pages of the Word of God. It's found through prayer.
Yep.
Amen. And Jesus is the answer for everything this morning. If you got your Bibles with me, turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 6. And as I was trying to ponder on what message the Lord would have me preach on this morning, it was between this and another one, and the Lord just kind of, you know, edged me along this line a little bit more. We was talking about this the other day in prayer meeting, and I hadn't even given a second thought until this morning, but we're going to do our best to preach you what the Lord has laid upon our heart, and no more, no less than what the Lord would have us to do this morning. Just pray for us that we will be in the will of the Lord as we preach His Word today. Luke chapter 6, go all the way to the end of the chapter there, verse 46. And we'll start our reading at verse 46.
Last one.
The Bible says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. When the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock."
Amen.
"But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Go with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to kind of read along the same thing, but I'd like to hear what Matthew has to say about it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. The Bible says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it.
Right.
It came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as a scribe."
Yeah.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord,
Heavenly Mother,
today we pray that your prayers,
Lord, bless your word, Lord,
Father, Lord, Father, Lord, Father, you would give us, Lord, the word you have to share with the congregation,
Lord, to God, Lord,
that the Spirit would take over, Lord, your God, and use us,
Lord, as a strength,
Lord, that we can step out of this place for just a little bit, Lord, sit together with you in heavenly places,
Lord, God,
and just pray for this congregation, this word, that we have to be sold,
Lord, and we've done all the
by the wayside of the congregation, Lord, we have the hearts of us in the right place to receive the word, that might grow up and bear great fruit.
Grow, Lord, each and every
bless
day.
The service
bless the men of God. Bless
these lips,
Lord,
and
scream the Lord.
Lord, let keep done everything according to your will this morning. Let your spirit have free course and your word have free course in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Bless the Lord. Amen.
This is very familiar scripture as we read about the foundation of the rock and building our house on the sand, and there's a few songs that talk about this, building our house on the rock and on the sand. You know, that song that I sung, I'm Still on the Rock, amen, just is the song that really came to mind when I was thinking about this, and that's why I sung it, because it kind of goes along with it. You know, when life storms are raging, and they don't seem to stop, and the rains and the storms beat violently upon this old house, and and the things in the world, get us down. They get us fearful. They get us afraid. We can always go back to that sure foundation. That rock. Which was established before the foundation even of the world was established. There was one called Jesus Christ. Who would become the rock. The Bible tells us that the rock was with them, and that rock followed them in the wilderness. Israelites, as they went through the wilderness of they drew water out of that rock. That rock was Christ, the Bible tells us later on. Over there, I think maybe in the book of Hebrews. But I'm glad today we've got a sure foundation. And that which is Jesus Christ. Brother John this morning was talking about rocks. Talking about the stones of the temple, how they weighed. Some of them must have weighed about 1,000,000 pounds. That's almost too much for our mind to comprehend. No telling how many. You see those trucks going down the road. That have these heavy loads of cars upon cars stacked up. That ain't nothing compared to 1,000,000 pounds. If you think about it. But those the temple. Did not have. The foundation. It had an earthly foundation. It was built upon rocks. But like he said, the Romans came in about 70 A.D. and pulled the stones on top of each other and pulled them all off. And I tell you what, it's an important thing to know, that we have a rock, that's going to hold, during the times of the storm, the times of the trouble, when things go wrong in life, as they often do, we can always hang on to that rock, Talking about this the other night at prayer meeting, Jerry talked about this, and my pastor, Jerry Harris, he said he was talking to a man one time, he said, our foundation is a rock, but sometimes I feel like everything in the world has been poured on that. Oil, syrup, everything, because it seems like I slip and slide all over that rock. But that rock is firm. It's a firm foundation. The Bible tells me over there in the book of Isaiah, we'll turn there for just a minute and talk about the sure foundation. In Isaiah it says, in chapter 28, in verse 15 and 16, says, because ye have said we have made a covenant with death and with hell, are we at agreement with the overflowing, a scourge shall pass through, it shall not come to us. For we have made our lives our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. The Bible says, because of this, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. If you read over there in Peter, First Peter chapter 2, it talks about that precious cornerstone. Elect, he that believeth will not be confounded. Will not be made ashamed. And I tell you what, it's important to know, who's you building your foundation on this morning? Are you building on the world? Are you building on the sinking sand? When I think of that sand, I think of quicksand. Out in those old westerns and in the jungle, those old movies about being in the jungle, and you get on a patch of this quicksand, it begins to drag you down. It begins to suck you down until you're completely overtaken by this sand. Can you imagine if you built your house on something like that? If you built this church on sand that was not stable, Hey man, what if you built your house on a fault line?
Yeah.
What if you built your house when the earthquake would come?
There.
Hey man, and all of a sudden you knew, knowing better, oh, this earthquake ain't going to come. It's been like this for years and it ain't going to happen to us. Hey, but what if it did? Hey man, you decided to go on ahead and build your house on a fault line and because an earthquake came and split that fault line, your house would crumble in.
Yeah.
That was not a stable foundation.
No. That's right there.
It was not a stable foundation. Quicksand is not a stable foundation. Amen. Over there in Luke, where we just read, he called it sin. He called it building on the earth.
Yeah.
But the man who had his foundation of his house built on the rock, it said he digged deep.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
You know, sometimes I think of movies and archaeological sites where they'll dig very deep until the shovel hits something.
Yeah.
And they know it's solid.
Yeah.
They're going to do something about that, you know. And I think about that. You got to get all those junk, all those dirt out of the way.
Yeah.
And you got to be able to get down to where you can find the foundation of the rock. Amen. The,
yeah.
The rock that's going to be planted. It's not going to move. It's going to be firm. And then you know you've got something that you can depend on. Something that you know that if the winds come, if the waves and the storms beat on that house, amen, this rock is not going to move. Amen. The faith is not in the house. The faith is in the rock. It's
yeah.
The foundation.
Amen.
Amen. I don't have any faith in this old house. Amen. This old flesh gets us down. Amen. It gets in the way.
Yep.
Bible tells me that the flesh is weak. Amen.
Yes, it is.
The spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak.
That's right.
That's when we have to go down and dig deep. Amen. When the flesh doesn't want to dig deep. Amen. Jesus in the garden praying. The Bible said he went a little further. Amen. Me and you as Christians, sometimes we've got to dig down deep and go a little bit further with the Lord.
Amen.
So that we can go down to the foundation.
Amen.
Be able to touch the rock.
Yeah, amen.
And then cast your anchor upon that rock.
Yep.
Amen. The Bible tells us hope is an anchor for the soul. Amen. Sometimes that's all we got in this life. We see all the turmoil that's going on over the Middle East. And amen. No telling how many different terrorist cells are here in our nation today. Amen. We can get our eyes off the foundation real quick.
Yeah.
When we begin to think about what's going on in the world today. I always think of Peter out there on the sea with the Lord. Amen. The Lord bid him come to him, and Peter stepped out and stepped on the water. Amen. And did all right for a little while. But then he began to see the waves and the sea being boisterous and the winds. And he got his eyes off the rock. He got his eyes off the Lord. Amen. He began to look at all this other stuff that's going on. He began to sink.
Yeah.
Isn't it interesting that the rock that was on the water did not sink?
Yep.
I don't know, last time I checked, rocks sink. Jesus, the rock, did not sink.
That's right, amen.
And he picked up Peter in the water. Amen. He was about to go over his head. He said, Lord, save me. Didn't have time to pray a big old long, stupendous prayer. All he said was three words, Lord, save me.
Yep. Amen.
That's all it took.
That's all it takes.
Amen. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
That's right, amen.
Amen. Who are you building your foundation on this morning? What are you building your entire life upon this morning? Hey, what are you building your family's life on this morning? Amen. How do you raise your family today? Amen. Is it on the things of the world? Amen. Is it on get all you can and get all as much as you can? Amen. And live it up and eat, drink, and be merry? Or is it on the rock?
Amen.
Is it on depending on the rock of Jesus Christ? The Bible tells us that's a sure foundation. I've got a little hymn here that I picked up here just a few minutes ago. I read over it, but it didn't catch my eye and my attention until just before I got up to preach. It's in that Heavenly Highway hymn book. And if you listen to J. Vernon McGee on 90.9, this is the same theme song that comes on every time his show comes on. Page 321, it says, how firm a foundation. I'm going to read this. And it says, how firm a foundation you sing to the Lord is laid for your faith in His excellent Word. What more can He say than to you He hath said, to you for refuge to Jesus hath fled. Fear not, I am with thee. O be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my gracious, omnipotent hand. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace, all-sufficient, shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. Even down to old age all my people shall prove my sovereign, eternal, unchangeable love. And when hoary hairs shall their temples adorn, like lambs they shall still in my bosom be born. The soul that on Jesus leans for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never forsake. Amen. I'm glad that foundation can't be shaken.
Yes.
I'm glad that foundation will not forsake those who call upon his name.
Right.
Amen. I'm glad that foundation stands sure
even
today. Some 2,000 years plus since Jesus came to this altar to save a wretch like me. Amen. And said he would never cast out, amen, me, never forsake me. Hebrews over there tells us to be content with such things as we have, for he hath said, I will never leave nor forsake thee. Amen. I'm glad today that we've got a high priest, we've got a God, we've got a Savior, amen, who said he would never leave us and never forsake us. Amen. Who is that foundation, that chief cornerstone that we've been reading about?
Amen. Come on.
Amen. John talked about this morning.
That's
about Daniel. And over there about chapter 2, chapter 3, Daniel was brought before the king Nebuchadnezzar, who had had a dream and he didn't remember the dream. And Daniel, he was told of all the different magicians and all the different seers in the kingdom. Amen. He wanted somebody to tell him his dream and what the interpretation meant. How impossible that is. But amen. With God, all things are possible.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Daniel even said it wasn't because of me and my wisdom, but because of God that this dream was revealed. He found there was a head of gold, shoulders, and all these other things, a big statue, an image. It was composed of different metal, brass, silver, iron, clay. And as you got down to the feet, they were mixed with iron and clay. But all of a sudden, Daniel saw this stone cut out of a mountain. Amen. You know, back in the Bible days, you was talking about the temple being built. I think it was the altar, if I'm not mistaken. But the altar was not supposed to be hewn by man's hands. It was supposed to be cut out from rock of the mountain and taken to the altar to be built. If I'm not mistaken, there was not supposed to be a hammer touch it. It was supposed to be taken directly from the mountain. Well, this stone, this mountain, yielded a stone that was cut out, not with man's hands. And in this vision, this dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, Daniel was interpreting this, and he said, this stone came down and crushed the entire image. And it was basically powder when it was all said and done.
Yeah.
Amen. And there was a kingdom. This little stone became a mountain. The kingdom, amen, that would never depart anymore.
Yeah.
And that stone was Christ, the chief cornerstone. And his kingdom, amen, will be set up here one day after a while. Amen. When he comes back to claim his bride and his children for his own.
Yeah.
Amen. One day after a while, and the foundation, amen, that God built before the world began will still be dependent upon, will still be true, faithful, amen, and just when it comes time to set up that kingdom.
Amen.
How firm a foundation that we have today. Let me tell you a little bit about this foundation. Amen. And what this foundation means. Amen. I think about all the things that Jesus done here on this earth. Amen. We know he walked on the water. Amen. We know he healed the sick.
Yeah.
But let me just tell you a few things that Jesus did. And you tell yourself, you ask yourself, is this a foundation I can depend on? Amen. With my life, with my eternal soul, with my eternal destiny this morning. Amen. Let me ask you if the world would do things like this for you, that God would do. First of all, we know that Christ changed water into wine in the marriage of Cana. Amen. That was his first miracle he did when he stepped on the scene in Cana. Amen. He helped Peter and the fishermen, amen, the disciples, to catch fishes. Amen. They didn't have any fish. They toiled all night. And then to have anything to show for it. And Jesus, amen, being the Son of God that He was, told them to cast their nets on the right side. And there was so much of a multitude of fishes. Amen, that the net began to break.
Amen.
And the ship began to sink. Amen.
Amen.
Because of the foundation that was leading them on their way.
Yep.
Amen. We know about many people that was possessed of devils. Amen. There was one that there was a man that had a son who would, oftentimes he would cast himself into a fire, and then he would cast himself into water. Amen. And the man didn't know what else to do. He came to Jesus. He said, "Lord, if it's possible, heal my son." And Jesus replied, "Amen. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe it."
Yep.
He said, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." And he found, amen, when he returned, his son was healed because of what Christ did, because of the faith that he had.
Amen.
Amen.
Yep.
He had a sure and firm foundation. There's another man, a demoniac, over in Gadara. Amen. In Mark chapter 5, I believe it was. And we find that this man was possessed with at least 2,000 demons inside of his body. Why 2,000? Because there was 2,000 swine that drowned themselves in the sea when they were cast out. Amen. There was at least 2,000 devils in this man. His name was Legion. Not the man's name, but the devil's name was Legion. But he said, "Because we are many." Amen. They tied him up with chains. Amen. They found him in the tombs, and he would cut himself. He would harm himself. He was naked and had his right mind about him. Tormented with devils inside his soul. And believe me, folks today have the same problem. Some people today are devil possessed.
Yep.
Amen. Some people today they don't know why things are going wrong. Amen. They haven't turned their life over to the Lord and don't realize that the devil is inside of them. Amen. Making their lives miserable. Why? Because he came to steal, kill, and destroy. He'll do it by any means necessary. But this man, amen, he was out of his mind. He was just a madman as much as you can ever think of being a madman. He was up in the tombs, and they couldn't do anything with him. Every time he tied him up in chains, he'd break them. And then when Jesus came on the scene, the man knew immediately who he was. Amen. He looked at him. He said, "Lord, why don't torment me before my time?"
Yeah.
Amen. And Jesus asked him what his name was. He said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he told him. He told him to cast out the demons out of that man.
Yeah. Amen.
And we find that the man, amen, was clothed in his right mind.
In the right mind.
Amen. I tell you what, alcohol is a demon. Drugs is a demon.
Yeah.
Amen. Illicit relationships is a demon. Amen. There's all kinds of ways they manifest themselves. Amen. And you try your best, amen, to find a different way. But I tell you what, until you get Christ in your life, until you get the foundation that can be shaken, amen, you're always going to find trouble and sorrow.
Yeah.
Once Christ entered in, the man was cleaned up.
Yep, he was.
Clothed in his right mind. Amen. He's ready to serve the Lord. Amen. The centurion servant. They're talking about a foundation you can build on, you can depend on today. The centurion servant was sick. And he came to Christ and he said, "Don't even go to my house. I'm not even worthy to have you in my house. Just speak the word, Lord, and my servant will be healed."
Yep.
Christ said, "I've not found a man with as much faith in all of Israel." He told him to go his way. His servant would be all right. And as he was going, one of his other servants came and he said, "It's a miracle. Your servant's been healed. He's back to full health." Man, what a wonderful thing to have. And I'm thinking of Mark chapter 5 again, where Gadara, after he got done with that, amen, a man by the name of Jairus came, and a daughter, whose daughter was sick unto death. Amen. And this always intrigued me as he was getting an answer from Christ, and he was trying his best to get Christ to come and heal his daughter. Christ was on the way, but on the way, the woman with an issue of blood cut line. I preached a sermon one time on in line for a blessing, and this woman came and she cut line as Jesus was getting ready to go heal Jairus' daughter. Here comes the woman with an issue of blood and tugged on his robe.
Yep.
And he said, "What? Who touched me?"
Amen. Yep.
Amen. disciples thought he was crazy because there was a mob around him, a multitude of people around him, swarming him because of what he could do and who he was. And he said, "Who touched me? I felt virtue come out of me."
Yeah.
I felt power.
What did he say?
Power transferred from the Son of God to a mortal human being. What can you do but get healed after that?
Amen.
Amen. And the lady, knowing she shouldn't have been in public in the first place, why? Because she was unclean. Shouldn't even been that public. Should have been set apart, separated. The lady confessed what it was. He said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole."
That's right, amen. Yep.
And then we find after this, a little issue takes place. He continues on to Jairus' daughter, but guess what? She's dead. That delay, because of that delay, the daughter died. And Jesus said, "No, fear not, just sleeping."
That's right, amen.
Yep. Every single gospel
that
mentions this, everyone says they laughed him to scorn. They laughed. She's not sleeping, she's dead. What's he talking about? He put them all out of the room. He said,
right.
"If you don't believe, you don't have no part in this." Amen. Don't have no part in this. If you don't believe, then we don't need you.
That's right.
And he told that daughter, he said, "Dog, damsel, arise." That's all he had to say.
Yep.
She came forward.
That's right.
Amen. Was healed, was resurrected.
Yep.
Amen. A great foundation I'm talking about this morning.
Yeah.
John. Amen. That Jesus did so many works. Amen. If you would write them in the books, the whole world could not contain
the right.
books.
That's right.
That could be written with what Christ had done while he was on this earth.
Yep.
I'm talking about a sure foundation this morning.
Amen.
Where is your hope placed? Where is your anchor placed?
Amen. Yeah.
Placed in a Christ, amen, who's able to heal, save, amen, and get you into heaven one day after a while, and not only you, but your loved ones. Is that where your faith is placed? Is that where your foundation is today? Or is it in the world? Maybe you find yourself, like I said earlier, slipping and sliding around on the foundation. And you know, you can't get a foothold. You see these rock climbers, they know where all the crevices are to put their hands and their feet. But for some reason, you can't get a hold on the rock. And you need some help. I'm asking if we'll stand today. Somebody come get a song.
That's more.
I feel like it's time for an altar call. Have you lost your grip today on the world? Because of the world. Have you lost your grip in your relationship, your walk with Christ? And I tell you what, right up here is the best place to come and dig a little deeper. Amen. If you find yourself slipping and sliding around on the foundation, then that tells me you need to dig a little deeper. It said that they dig deep. The foundation was found as they dig deep. Amen. So that tells me a lot of stuff in the world has piled on top of this foundation. You can't have a grip anymore. It's time to dig a little deeper. Would there be somebody who would say, "I need to dig a little deeper this evening. I need to dig a little deeper. I need to find that foundation again where I can hope to have a toehold one more time." This offer's open for you to come. You know, so it is more than enough for you. Listen to words of Jason.
Stood by the wayside day. He cried out to Jesus, for he knew the chance he was taking. The crowd said, "Be quiet, don't bother him now." But the fourth day pressed him, tried to reach out, old house of David.
Said to the Lord that my daughter, she's dying at home.
It's only up to you to determine who you're building on this morning, what your foundation is upon. And trust me, it can get loaded down with grief, with fear, with worry, whatever it is. Time to dig a little deeper when that happens.
Amen.
Brother Jason.
Amen.
Amen.
Bless you, Aaron.